how you doing today? Come on. I don't know if you've ever wondered, what's the point of all this? Have you ever wondered, have you ever been somewhere and you're like, what's the point? Has that ever happened on Sunday mornings? Tell the truth and shame the devil. Come on. We have, like, it's easy, like, what's the point of church? We've been taking a really good look at what's the point of faith and what's the point of prayer and what's the point of church and what's the prayer of forgiveness and what's the prayer of, what's the point of all of these things and what's the prayer and what's the point and what's the faith and all these things. Because they really, really do, they befuddle us at sometimes, because if somebody said to you, hey, what's church like? What you probably would say, well, we get together, the band plays. We have this cool band, which they sound excellent. And then the pastor gets up and tells us about all the stuff happening. And then another guy gets up and he, like, waxes eloquently. And then we get the opportunity to give. See, those are the things we do, but we forget what the church is. And we live in a day and age and a time when the church, I believe, has lost its true identity. We lost our equilibrium. The Big C church, the church over the globe, we've lost who we are. And I believe that many people are trying to, like, find it again. And I believe right now that in the world and even where we live, that there is a spiritual curiosity and a spiritual, like, leaning in right now. And the number one way we lean into God is by how? Prayer, but church. Because we go to church, we're supposed to find who in church? God, right? And we all came here expecting to find something about God. We came here today trying to find something, but we come with all these expectations. We come with all this other stuff going on in our heads and our minds about church and what it really is. Am I right? Because we all have expectations and we all have thoughts about the church. There was a mom who went in to wake up her son. And she said, it's time for church. He says, I'm not going. He says, I don't like them, and they don't like me. She waited a little bit. She walked back in the room, knocked on his room, says, hey, it's time for church. Get up. He says, I'm not going. I don't like them, and they don't like me. She waited a little bit. She goes back into the room. She wakes him up and says, hey, we're going to church. He says, give me two good reasons why I should go to church. She said, number one, I'm your mother. Number two, you're the pastor. Let us turn to the word of the Lord. So here's the question. What is the church and who is it for? Because we all have a mindset what we were supposed to find today when you came in here. No matter what your background is, you walked in here and you had a mindset about what those people or these people or our people are like. Am I right or wrong? Okay, so here we go. I'm just going to uncover, because I want to give some definitions for the church. I want to give definitions for the church according to the Bible, because if not, we're all going to make up our own definition. And how many people know that the person sitting next to you has pretty crazy things in their head? Okay. So here we go. Matthew chapter 16. Red letters. Jesus speaking. And this is right when the apostle Peter, he said, you are Jesus, the Son of the living God. And so that means in his context, he knew Jesus, you have all the authority from the Father. And so you're the Son of the living God. And Jesus responds to him saying, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. So already we know that the church and hell are at war with one another. See, it's right there. There's a war going on here. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So we know that there's something spiritual that Jesus mentions here when he mentions the church here. So what does the word church really mean? What is this? It's a Greek word, ekklesia. And what it simply means is called out from the world. So it's a called out. I'm calling you out, but it's God calling us to himself. So God's saying, I'm calling you out from the world, and I'm calling you to myself. Actually, Jesus chose a very non-religious term in this context. We have an idea of church, but when he said ekklesia, it was a very, very non-religious term. It didn't have anything to do with religion or church or rituals or anything, sacrifices or anything. What it really had to do with was this. There was a group of, this meant a group of people that had their own rules, R-U-L-E-S, and if you wanted to be a part of this special group, there was things you had to do and things you had to be able to be a part of it. And if you wanted to stay a part of it, you had to behave a certain way. It would be very similar in our day and age to a labor union. Now, I know many people maybe in the room don't really have a personal experience with unions, but unions were set up actually to protect people in their origin. And so unions, if you want to be a part of the carpenter's union or the concrete and cement working union or pipe fitters, there's a lot of different unions. You have to be able to do a certain task to be able to be a part of that union. Trust me, nobody has ever asked me to be a part of the carpenter union. For good reason. Okay? So nobody ever asked that. So you have to be able to do a task to stay in. You have to meet requirements to stay in. And if you go into the union, you have a protection on your life. I believe there can be an illustration here and a point to say, when we become a part of Jesus' church, there are certain expectations, certain requirements, and certain things that Jesus expects us to do to be a part. And when we do those things, and when we're united as a church, he protects us. He watches over us. Okay, doesn't give me whatever I want, but the point is that when I'm a part of this, I'm different from everybody else. And see, many, you could still be a carpenter and not be a part of the carpenter's union. And there's many people that are trying to be Christians without being a part of the union. And you don't get the benefits from the union if you're on your own. Can you still be a Christian and not be part of the church? I actually don't believe you can be, but you can do Christian things and not be a part of the church. You can do Christian stuff, but you can't fully, because it requires a church to make us into what God wants us to be. That's how I have a firm doctrinal belief on that when we talk about church here. That's really what we're talking about here. There are three different applications for the church. There's the universal church. That's the universal body of Christ. I refer to that as the Big C church. All over the world, there's a church that's functioning. Then there's the region. And then there's in Pittsburgh or southwestern Pennsylvania, or even if you get bigger, there's the northeast of the United States. That's the regional church. And then there's the local church, where we're at today. I believe everybody needs a local church. I really believe that with all my heart. But what's it for? Like, why? Why? What's really the big deal with this here? You see, you can't go to church when you are the church. Our lives make up the church. So I can't go to something that I already am. I'm being built into something. So when we get together, our lives are formed into something. Let me read to you a couple verses out of Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 18, the Apostle Paul is writing a letter. And as he writes this letter, he's writing a letter, and he's talking about all the benefits and everything God does for you as an individual. God does a lot for us as an individual. Somebody say yes. Yeah, so at this moment, he switches gears, and as a result of everything God does for you as an individual, here it is, verse 19, so now you Gentiles, that's a fancy word to say those people that are outside of the Jewish community at this writing. That's just that everybody outside, think of that. They were outside of God's people. So the Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with God's holy people. So what happens is God took us who were far from God as Gentiles, and he made us citizens of heaven. I think that's a pretty cool, I think that's a pretty big deal. Okay, you can't get a passport for that. But I'm a citizen of heaven. I have a different citizenship. There's different rules. I exist under a different law than even the law of the land. I'm a stranger. I'm a foreigner. I'm an alien. And I think for so much of the time, over the last couple, like maybe decade plus, the church has been trying so hard to fit into the culture, we don't realize that the culture slid into the church. When really God has called us to be strangers and aliens and foreigners in this world because I have a citizenship from heaven. So what's the church for? Is to help us with our heavenly citizenship. We're different. We think different. We act different. We behave different. There's a whole different set of things going on here. And together, verse 20, we are his house built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for God. So what is the church? Okay, it's a family. We see it's a family, right? And so I don't know about you, but whatever comes with family typically comes with this word called dysfunction. I mean, I love it when people come to me and say, I don't think you understand, Pastor. I come from a dysfunctional family. I says, haven't met one person yet that hasn't. Okay. So we're trying to figure out there's a family, there's a household, there's a dwelling, there's a temple of the Lord that we're a part of. So we're a part of something holy. This belongs to God. So we're here for him, not just for me. I don't know if you know this or not, but everything left to itself turns inward. When I get left to myself long enough, I just naturally think only about me. I think only about me. And that's what sometimes happens with church. We start off and it's exhilarating, it's fun, and it's like, yeah, this is awesome, this is great, but left to ourselves, we start to turn inward here. So we're the family of God, a house built on the word, the dwelling place, a holy temple here, carefully joined together, fit together into a synergistic, harmonious whole. God is fitting us together. How do I say that? 1 Corinthians 12:18. But as it is, God arranged the members. God arranged the members. Who arranged the members? God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he. Who chooses? God chooses. He's the one that puts things in order the way he sees fit. He does it. He says, I know where you fit. I'm going to carefully put you in here. I'm going to carefully put you in there here. God calls us. And in the church, it's easy because our culture is so fixated right now on our gifting, my natural bent, like my testing, which is all good. I like that, and it's good. But the problem is in church, sometimes we focus on your gift more than the call of God. And it's easy to do that. Where has God called me to be? Wherever he's called me to be, therefore I am there. He's called me, I respond. Does that mean I like everything that happens at church? I love it when people come to me and say, Pastor, we get to do just whatever you want because you're the pastor. I says, trust me, we do not do whatever I want. I'm not even sure my wife Natalie would come to that church, okay? I might be alone. I might be right. Are you with me now? No, it's God's thing. It's his dwelling. And he puts people where he sees fit. So how do you know if you're really a part of a church? How do you really know if you're really a part of what God is building? I'm going to give you a way. This is a great definition. You're going to want to see if you're a part. That I'm going to tell you right now. Are you ready? You are irritated, inconvenienced, and your life is interrupted. How many of y'all are part of Jesus's church right now? Come on, that's it. I didn't say marriage, I said part of his church. Come on, somebody, yeah. Same thing, because it's a covenant relationship. So see, he fits us together. So this is the deal. Have you ever had somebody, and I'm going to date myself a little bit here, and they make this statement, that person rubs me the wrong way. Have you ever said that, heard somebody say it, thought that this morning? That's a sign that God is fitting you in his church. Because your rough edges have to come off so he can put you where he wants you. So what's the church? It's a place to get your rough edges off so he can fit you where he wants you. That we can be useful for him. That's why we do groups. That's why we do all those things here. Okay, let's look at this now. I want to talk about the dwelling place of God. And I just want to give you some illustrations, and then I'm going to break it down. And again, what's the church and who is it for? How many of y'all need to be reminded? Come on, we need to be reminded. 1 Corinthians 14:24, if you're prophesying, and this is talking about a church service, this is talking about people, when you gather together, there's going to be a lot of things happen. There's prophecy, and unbelievers or people who don't understand these things come into your meeting. So who's the church for? The church is for people who use their gifts, but their spiritual gifts, but also the unbelievers. So if you're here today, and you're struggling, and you have doubt, and you're wondering if there's really a God, and you're wondering what this is all about, you came to the right place. No, it's a place for people who are struggling with doubt and unbelief, because it's talking about right here. So if unbelievers come in and they don't understand what you're doing, so if you've ever been in a church service and you're wondering, what are they doing? You're just like what the Apostle Paul was writing to here in 1 Corinthians 14. Are you with me? He said it right there. Oh, man. But something happens and you're here and something inside of you begins to change. Something inside of you is getting like the word conviction, like, whoa, this is serious. Man, they're talking. It's like they're revealing the secrets in my heart. Have you ever been in a church time and you're, the person speaking or somebody singing or somebody says something and it's like, oh, they must know me. That's what's happening here. And here, but when they listen to this, they worship God, and then it says that they fall down on their knees, and they say, God is truly here among us. What do they say? They didn't say, the band is so cool. They didn't say, Pastor John, I love his shoes. No, they said, God is here. Surely God is among them, and that is our goal as a church. That when everybody comes in, and I'm going to get to who all it's for, but what it's for is that, wait a minute, there's a God thing going on that I'm not even sure I know what it means right now, but together we'll figure it out, but God's there. This is the church. This is what it's for here. It's not about information. It's not mystical. And it's not just informational. Let me give you four truths of the church. Four truths of Jesus' church here. Number one truth, God is committed to building his church. You need to know that. God's going to build it. Jesus says, I will build my church. How many of y'all know that Jesus is good for his word? Yeah, and then I want to let you know the devil hates the church. The devil actually doesn't mind if you go to church, just don't become the church. You just show up and be pleasant. Pretend like your life is together. Smile. How you doing? Good. Right? We all do it, right? All that means is you didn't, never mind here. You didn't have an argument on the way to church. That's all that means. You didn't flip nobody off on the way to church. It's like, I had a good ride. Nobody got in front of me. Come on, somebody. There, I said it, okay. Christians need the church. We need each other because it's God's way to mature us, and the world's waiting for the church. The world's waiting for us. The world's waiting for the church to be the church here. That's what it's all really about. Are you seeing Jesus' church here today? Okay, so I'm going to read some verses. Actually, Pastor Keith, who was here 2 weeks ago, he read all these verses. And one of my favorite texts in the whole Bible. Matter of fact, the first time I ever preached at this church, I preached from this text. And Carl, I think you were here, and Roy Ann, you were here, and Gina Linda, I think you were here, and Natalie was here. And she was so enamored by the way I preached too. She still are. She said she still is.
All I do is win. Come on, somebody. Yeah.
And so this is one of my favorite texts here. So here we go, Ephesians 4. The Apostle Paul is talking about the church. He's saying, hey, you got to get this church thing. Okay? Because listen. But in the midst of doing church, we can't get so good at doing church that we forget Jesus. But we can't forget that to be able to be involved with Jesus, we need the church. There's a tension there. Okay, so here it is. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And this is my favorite statement. I use it all the time. People come and they say, Pastor, you just think you're a gift to the church. I says, yes, I am. Because I have text. I have chapter and verse. But Pastor John, could you just stand up? If your wife was here, just stand up right where you are. If your wife Christine was here, I would have her stand up with you. But I just want to let you know, Pastor John is a gift. Not only a gift because of his, I mean, he can teach like nobody else I know. I mean, he's a brilliant teacher of the Word of God. I mean, I cannot rave enough about your teaching. You have a true gift. But I'm going to tell you what's more important. The call of God on his life trumps the gift. I want you to catch me here. And to the degree that you're here today, whether this is your first time here, second time here, you've been here 30 plus years, to the degree that you receive the gift is to the degree that you're going to grow in Christ. I didn't say that you get his friendship. I said the call of God and the gift that he is to the church. Difference. Pastor Keith was here, and he functioned very apostolically, if I can use that term. You also used in these verses here. He's a gift to the church to help us think differently. To the degree you embrace that gift is to the degree you're going to mature in your spiritual journey. So when I say that Pastor John, and again, if Christine was here, she's serving, that they're a gift, it's not just that you listen to his teaching. You receive the call of God that's here, because we all have a call of God to be a part of the church, and his call will keep him where he's at, not his gift. Gifts come and go, but the call will keep you. And what I believe God is saying in this text, to the degree that we will submit ourselves, and we will submit ourselves to the gift that he is to the degree that we're going to get the rest of these verses. And I'm so proud of you and all that you've done and continue to do. Keep doing such a great, awesome work. So good. Come on. So what's he going to do with you? He's going to equip you. That's right. And really, this word really means it's like if you're going to mend nets that got torn. If nets, like fishing nets got torn, you mend them. Or if a fractured bone, you have to set the bone. That's really what this is talking about here. So he's going to equip you so that you do what? Say it. We're going to all do work. Okay? That's a good four-letter word. Come on. Yeah. So there's going to be energy and power that we're going to produce something together. See, if we don't catch this, church is going to be all about something I come and observe, but I'm not a part of. I come to observe, check out the band, see how long it's going to be, what kind of coffee do you have? You have my favorite creamer. Am I right? Rather than, I'm coming here so that I can do work. So that the degree is we're going to do work together. And in the next verses, so that we all continue to come to unity and we mature. And mature means you're going to reach your full capacity. Remember I said to the degree you reach your full capacity, because that's what completeness, maturity means, is to the degree that you're submitted in a local church setting here. And let's go on, verse 15. Instead, we're going to speak the truth in love. We are going to speak the truth in love. We are going to speak. It's all plural here. So we're going to speak the truth in love here. That's what we do. Growing in every way more like Christ. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its special work and helps the other parts grow. And the whole body is healthy, growing, and full of love. Let's say that together. Healthy, growing, full of love. One more time, like you're really joyful. This has been my focus all year long, that we're going to be healthy, grown, and full of love. So how do you get fit? You need to exercise. How many of you have tried doing it without exercise? Yeah, it doesn't work. You got to get fit. You got to put into practice here. You join together. You become healthy. You're healthy when you're functioning, when you're working together. And you're growing, you increase, you expand. This is God's plan for his church. Are you seeing this now? See, church is so much more than only just something I go to observe. It's something that I become a part of. I get a whole new mindset. I get a whole new heart. I get a whole new way of thinking in my life. And that's how I become a part of it here. I'm healthy. I'm growing. I'm full of love. So who is the church for? 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 Here we go. It's for believers, people who are Christians. And we want to grow in our faith. I just want to grow. I want to reach my full capacity. And you know what I want to say to you right now? I want to say to you right now, if you're here, I believe in you, and I believe in each and every person here, that there's so much more inside this North Brady campus. I believe there's a potential. I believe there's such a synergy and energy that's waiting to be uncapped here. I am speaking right now to every person here. There's something here. There's something inside that God wants to tap and release here. Okay? There's a potential God has. And there's people in this room right now, they're seekers. You're just trying to figure it out. What's life's purpose? What's God doing? You're in the right place. And there's people in the room right now that you're doubting. You're doubting whether God really cares about you. And in today's message, you're thinking like, I came to because you're hurting. And I just want to tell you, I don't have an easy, quick fix for you, but I have Jesus' church for you. And the hurting and the hopeless. So if you're hurting and you're hopeless, the church is for you. The church isn't for a bunch of people that just got their lives all together and everything's perfect, and to point fingers at other people. Because quite frankly, I don't have time for that. And I don't think God does either. But we're willing to submit to God's plan and purpose because the world's waiting for what we have. That's who the church is for. Hey, if you're getting water baptized today, or you're baptizing somebody, if you could slip out and go get ready for that. You can slip out the back door and Pastor John will meet you in the back hallway. We'll pull you in a couple minutes. You know, when you get water baptized, what you're really saying is this. Follow me here. What you're really saying is, I'm no longer just going to go to church. We're going to be the church. No longer just going to go. I'm going to be. I'm going to become. There is no topic I would rather talk about than Jesus' church because it is so powerful and so wonderful. Caden, thanks so much for playing. Caden has a gift, but I'm just telling you, it is blowing me away. And but I want to tell you this: it's not only the gift that blows me away; it's his anointing. He is so anointed. And what I mean by that is just when he plays, like the presence of God's on it. He has learned to play. Can you hear me? Okay, I don't like it. I'm like, I don't know if they like. I just thought I'd better ask. I thought maybe he's looking at me like, you just have an anointing on your life. And he's not only gotten better at playing the piano, he has an anointing. I'm telling you, when he plays, something's happening in the spirit. And if you say, well, what does that mean? That sounds mystical. All through the Bible, Old Testament and New, when they played, things happened. Spirits broke. It encouraged people. If you look at it really biblically, so I just want to say thanks. I don't know why you needed to hear that. Nina, good job. And I'm going to give you one quick slide here about the church, what the church is, built by Christ, filled with the Spirit. Take a picture of this. Look at it later. Look at all those scriptures. Come on, get your phones out. Take a picture. If you want me in a picture, you can. Just stand to your feet with me today as we close up. We're going to close up. We're going to have water baptisms in a couple minutes. I just want to stop for a moment and if you're here today and you don't have a moment or a time when you met Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ became the forgiver of your past and the leader to your future, I'm going to ask you guys to just be still, please. Thank you. If you don't have that moment where Jesus Christ became the forgiver of your past and the leader to your future, if you never felt the joy of what it means to be a son or a daughter of the Most High God, and you surrender your life to Jesus, I want to offer you that today. So Heavenly Father, I pray for every person in this room right now that they're wrestling with who this Jesus is. Lord God, let today be a day of new beginnings for them. Let today be a day of redemption. And if that's you here today, and you are far from God, and you know it, and it's okay, God knows it, but he's saying, welcome in. God has open arms for you right now. And if you'd like today to be your day of a new, fresh start with God because of what Jesus Christ has done, I'm not inviting you to a membership of a church. I'm inviting you to be a member of Jesus' family by saying, Jesus, I want you to forgive me of my sin and lead me into my future. If that's you right now in this moment, I just want you to do something really joyful just so I can pray for you. You're not going to come up front, but I want to pray for you. Just slip up your hand and say, Pastor, that's me today. Just slip up your hand. Slip up your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. I want to let you know that you're valuable. And you're not just a statistic. You have a story that's so important to God. And there's going to be probably somebody maybe come up, and they're just going to pray for you. But you know what? If you want to take your phone and put it on the tap card in front of you, there's a place. I want to begin a relationship with Jesus. You can do it right there, right from your seat. And if you put that on there, I'm going to pray for you tomorrow morning. I'm going to pray for your name. I'm going to pray for you because you're a real person. And we have value to you. So, Lord, thanks so much for building your church and being so awesome. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give God a great big hand. Thank you, God. And